Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Wednesday, August 26th, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quagamush, Ben Milstead, live inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. Adams is here with us for intern support. That's where we are. The IS department, the intern support department, is here. 654-ROAR, if you'd like to join us on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines, the Adams & Co. Roofing text line. We are open today. Will Vandervoort will join us at 2:05. It will be glorious. We have lots to discuss with him. We have lots of stuff throughout college football that we need to get to. I've got some borderline crazy stuff to say sometime. Probably today we'll get to some of it. Now is the time to get your crazy out. Like, after the season starts, too late. You can't say, I told a buddy. Now's the time to get your crazy out. So I'm going to set an example on that. How are you today, Ben Milstead? Happy Wednesday to you, sir.
Happy Wednesday, Quack. All's great. Getting excited. And for the show, for the season, for all that is to come. I'm really excited. Can I break a little news right here, right out of the gate?
Yeah.
This is in reference to our college football kickoff show, which is tomorrow, people. The start of college football is tomorrow.
Presented by Bud Light.
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
That's right.
Tomorrow is the day. 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, Southern Weaving Food Hall. Right here in Easley, South Carolina. Easy to get to, man. Easy to get to. I don't care where you live. You know, if you're out west, leave now. You can get here. Easy drive.
What, by west, do you mean like Wahala? Or are you talking about Utah?
I mean like Montana. Bud Light and our friends at Crown Beverage will be there. They're bringing some giveaways. They're bringing some promotional items. The Clemson Bud Light can is absolute fire. I mean, you've probably seen that. If you've been on our social, you have seen Quack and I at Southern Weaving Food Hall promoting such items. One of the things that they are giving away at the event, and you have to be present to win, and a winner will be selected tomorrow. Two tickets to the Georgia Southern game, the first home game for Clemson, but it's two tickets in the Bud Light party deck.
Shut your mouth.
Last year, that was, if you're looking at the scoreboard, it was directly to the right of the hill, right below the scoreboard. Tremendous vantage point to watch said football game. So, yeah, we are giving those away. Be doing a drawing. You'll register to win while you are there, but you have to be present to win. So if you needed any more reason to come, and you shouldn't have, but if you needed any more reason to come, there you go. Two great tickets to that game, a night game. You know, just let your mind wander. You're sitting up high directly beside the hill as the team what comes in for the very first time in this season. And right at dusk. Yeah, get excited about that.
Ben, you're painting me a picture, man. Bob Ross, Ben Milstead today.
I mean, you're gonna hear the players right there. It's an awesome play. So, a set of two there, but you got to be there to win. So, man, I'm excited about tomorrow, as you might be able to tell.
I think it's going to be a tremendous show. I know some details about what we're going to be talking about and the way that this is going to go. I'm incredibly excited about that.
Yeah. You know, we'll have our brand new T-shirts will be unveiled there. And I will tell you this, they are not Clemson related necessarily. on purpose because we want you. We don't just have Clemson fans that listen to us. And I understand that a Georgia fan's not wearing one of our shirts if it's got a Clemson Paul on it. So we're trying to please the masses this year. Give everybody, and what is on this shirt will be very appealing to every red-blooded American.
Yes. Yes, it will.
Hear what I'm saying. Every red-blooded American will love this shirt.
Blue-blooded American? Jury's out. But the red-blooded Americans, you're right. They got the Facts on Sports seal of approval. I thought he was going to bust through the window in here.
Facts,
so
saw him right after the show and just came in here and held one up.
Slaptown Tiger asked, did y'all do Dolly Parton shirts?
Boy, wouldn't that have been something.
That boy. That would have been almost too eerie if weeks ago we had ordered Dolly Parton shirts. Oh, it's just, that's not
correct.
I
mean, Tiger Town Graphics could do them overnight if they had to, but no, that's not what they are.
What percentage of our audience do you think identifies as Clemson fans? Since we're talking about that.
I would say we're in the 70% maybe.
I was thinking around 60 to 65% like self-identifying Clemson fans, which leaves a considerable chunk of non-Clemson fans who may not be comfortable wearing the apparel, which is the allure. That's what it is.
Brooks said, I won't be there as I will be busy with the birth of my second son, but I hope it's a wonderful time. Well, you know, that's no excuse. You should have planned better. You should have planned better. No,
come on,
I'm kidding.
Brooks.
I'm kidding. Congratulations, man. I hope everything goes well tomorrow for y'all.
Oh, man, yes. That's exciting. Very, very exciting. Texter from the 864 brings up a really good point. Tigers for Tata's Dolly Parton themed shirts would sell like hotcakes.
I mean, it sort of writes itself, does it not?
I mean, look. I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
Those have already been ordered as
they
well.
Have.
So
they have, and I know that. I'm just stoking the flames.
But yeah, that.
God. Oh, it's just amazing. Go ahead.
No, I'm not saying.
You're
what
not. Nope. You're not. Are you sure?
Nope. I need you to go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Before we get the Snapbooks phone call, a rare first segment phone call. A couple things. I had just the best sports night last night. The Dodgers-Braves game is one of the best games of the season. I'm going to include postseason in that. It felt like a postseason game. It was played like a postseason game. It was managed like a postseason game. The crowd responded as if it was a postseason game, and it had the drama of a memorable postseason game. You're not supposed to enjoy a pre-football, mid-August sports night, and yet, here I am. The other reason that I enjoyed last night, all of the Dolly Parton tributes. I think I watched 9 different duets that she did live with people. The one she did with Kenny Rogers, I watched it multiple times, like 7 minutes.
And shout out to all the local TV stations and programs that pulled that together in a matter of hours, too. Everyone had some type of tribute. It was fantastic.
I just kept finding new stuff. Like, I've seen the Johnny Carson clip before. I saw multiple Johnny Carson clips, but I've seen some of that. When she was on Kimmel and sang, not Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, sang 9 to 5 recently, fairly recently. That was great. I watched that multiple times. I just found myself doing that. And then the Braves-Dodgers. Every time I was distracted from that, I watched the Braves-Dodgers. It was a great game.
Did you see the story? And I kind of had it on in the background, and so I may not get all these details exactly correct, but there was a choir, I believe in Spartanburg, doing some type of performance yesterday, and they're singing 9 to 5. At the time that everyone on there is getting notifications on their phone that Dolly Parton had just passed away.
No way. Oh, man.
Yeah, and they interviewed one of the choir members, and she said, yeah, we noticed everyone, you know, looking at their phone. I mean, that's just
that's got to be unnerving. Like, we think we're doing a really good job, and everyone's staring at their phones. This is not good. It was a choir from USC Upstate, is what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
At First Pres in Greenville.
Texture saying Buckingham Palace did a 9-to-5 with their band at the changing of the colors this morning.
Buckingham Palace. It's incredible how broad the acceptance and the mournings were yesterday for Dolly Parton. And I kept finding new ones. And the thing I said yesterday is the thing I still believe, that she is the last living, universally loved person who had values, who stood for stuff. You can be universally loved and stand for nothing. It's hard to stand for nothing these days, but you can do that.
You got to stand for nothing or you fall for anything, as the great country singer once wrote.
That's right. Let's go to Snaphook, who's up with us next on the Pratt and Jaguars phone line. Snaphook, hello.
How's it going, fellas? Hope y'all are doing well.
Doing great.
Just want to let you know that Mrs. Snaphook and I will be attending tomorrow night.
Yes.
And joined by my daughter and my future son-in-law, Brock.
I hope you're driving.
Oh, I'm definitely driving.
Okay, if she's driving, I'm parking off campus.
If Mrs. Snaphook was driving, I would walk from Easley High School, to be honest with you.
They have a lot of parking there, by the way.
They do. Not a bad
all
choice.
All jokes aside.
Great parking at Southern Weaving, by the way. I wanted to let you guys know that my future son-in-law, Brock, you know, he's a Gamecock fan, but he is taking the helm for the late and great Gamecock Will. He'll be officially known as Gamecock Brock.
Okay.
So, yeah, when you guys meet him tomorrow night, he actually is a driver for Southern Crown, so he'll be, you know, there repping his company and
great.
All the things tomorrow night. So when he introduces himself as Gamecock Brock, you know he's coming. So
I hope Brock enjoys distributing the Clemson Bud Light cans. I hope he just loves every can he delivers.
I actually want a picture of him drinking one, but I don't know if I'm going to be slick enough to get one.
Did he consider Game Brock the Gamecock?
Ooh.
For whatever reason, it's in my brain. Game Brock the Gamecock.
He's probably listening.
It's not terrible.
He's probably listening now. So, I mean, I'll throw that at him. You know, Gamecock Brock, it just kind of had a little bit of a ring to it.
It does.
But I like where you're thinking, Billy Quack.
It does. Listen, really do. I'm not opposed to Gamecock Brock. I just was asking, you know. I like spitballing, throwing ideas out to see what sticks.
There you go. One last thing before I go into work. I'll get this off the air. Over and under on how many NFL players are going to be on LSU's roster. I'm thinking maybe 5, 6, something like that. And I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks very much, Snapbook. Appreciate the phone call. Well, now that Lane Kiffin has all the lawyers on speed dial, we did find that out yesterday. I have a 4D chess conspiracy theory on this that I wanna propose when we come back.
Yeah, and I don't know that I buy into your conspiracy theory, but I'm always down for a great conspiracy theory. More black helicopters flying overhead.
I think we have way too much conspiracism, but Lane Kiffin's involved, so. I mean, if the shoe fits. 654 Roar is the number. We'll be back for more right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
Food, fun, and a whole lot of football.
The Roar's 2026 Bud Light College Football Kickoff Show will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley.
August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m.
You can go see him for a free consultation for legal advice, legal counsel. Right there behind Mellow Mushroom in Clemson. You can see on the website all the services that he provides. What he's passionate about is serving Clemson people and representing Clemson people. Because when you get in trouble with the law, you got two choices. You can let it ruin the rest of your life, or you can not. Binary. It's that simple. And if you don't get the representation, if you don't get the level of care and the level of focus and the level of work that's required, then it can ruin the rest of your life when you get a DUI or an MIP or something like that, particularly if it's your first charge. It doesn't have to do that. Nick
He really revels in making sure that his clients get the best representation available. That's what drives him. That's what drives the rest of his firm. For more on how they can help you, not just with those, but wrongful death, vehicle accidents, things of that nature, nicklaverylaw.com. Fatlard24 asks an interesting question before we get to some of the legal stuff from yesterday. Since LSU does that stupid thing where they wear white jerseys, yellow pants at home, what jersey combo will Clemson be wearing? I assume Clemson will be wearing orange over white. I assume they'll be wearing those. Georgia Tech does the same thing, and I believe last year Clemson wore orange over white at Georgia Tech. Clemson's worn dark jerseys at Georgia Tech a lot. I assume the same principles will apply. Do you have any insight on this, Ben?
I do not, but I like the question.
It is a good question.
Never thought about that.
I did not think about that either.
For some, they live for the jersey. They live for the helmet, all this. I could so care less. Just not in the things that I think about in a game week.
You know, Dabo, when he took over, folks may not remember, Dabo basically said there was too much attention being paid to what the team was going to wear.
Yeah, textures are – every texture listening to us
right now. Oh, yeah, that's
right. He's reminding us it was purple over white at Georgia Tech. I do like that.
I like the purple over white.
From time to time.
Didn't work, though.
Didn't burn them.
Was gimmicky, didn't work. Yeah, light them on fire. Absolutely light them on fire. The point is they wore a home jersey, like a dark jersey at Georgia Tech, and LSU would kind of be the same. We do have an update on the ongoing roster saga where the SEC came out. We said this yesterday. The SEC came out on Monday night and said, "We're so disappointed. How dare Congress and the law do this to us? And we just don't like this at all." And then the Big Ten came out and said, "Yeah, we're not doing this at all. We're not participating in this. If you do, you're done, basically. You're done. We'll light you on fire. You're done." And then the Big 12 was like, "Sure, we'll get on board with that." And the ACC and the Sun Belt and other conferences were like, "Yes, we agree with the Big Ten. We're going to leak this out. We agree with the Big Ten." So then the SEC came out, and Ben, I'm pretty sure this is what this is, and you have the punishments, I know. I'm pretty sure the SEC was like, "Oh, yeah, you're going to light them on fire? Well, we have built a guillotine, and we're beheading anyone who wants to do this. So there." That's basically what this is, right?
Could be. And you're probably right about that. However, the SEC is the conference that has the school that's the number one offender, or is trying to be the number one offender of this. So I do think they have to take a very strong and clear stance. Regardless of why, in this case, I don't really care. I'm glad that they have. I'm intrigued by where this goes. I'm laughing at Lane Kiffin for saying, "Well, you can't, a conference can't decide which laws they're going to follow and which ones are not, you know, which injunctions they like and which ones they don't." I'm like, says who? Sure they can.
Of course they can.
It's their conference. You work for them. It's a membership. If you're a member at a golf course and they say, "We're going to take the tee box on number 18 and back it up 100 yards," you don't get a vote. If you don't like it, you leave. You're no longer a member of that course. If they say you have to wear pink pants and purple shirts every time you play, if you don't like it, you lose your membership, or you get fined if you don't follow their rules. That's how these clubs work in all walks of life. If your employer tells you to park somewhere else or you're going to be fined, guess what? You do it. And if you don't do it, you're going to get fined. And if you don't like it, you leave. What world is this arrogant, stupid man living in?
Well, it's the LSU world, where they're going to solve the Ukrainian-Russian conflict with recruiting in women's basketball.
That's the I laugh every time I think about that.
And they're going to play men's basketball with four. Like, they just do that, unless the right 26-year-old comes along. What's smart that these leagues have done, I thought of this a lot yesterday, because my initial reaction is, okay, why in the world is the NCAA being told to pound sand by these judges, but the conferences appear to have some weight? The difference is that the NCAA told that entire class of 2022, you can't participate. And so the judges are responding to that. And there is a legitimate, and I disagree with the argument, but there is a legitimate argument, I think, that if they had done this in December or last September and said, if you're in the class of 2022, you don't get in it, before anybody went through any pro process, past any deadline or any of that, then none of this would be an issue.
And I can buy that. What you're saying is accurate. But that is unfortunate that they didn't then. You know, now, should they have at all? No, they shouldn't have. You know, that's the other thing. A lot of our venom is pointed to LSU, Lane Kiffin, the conference, and it should be. What is going on with our legal system that judges now, in effect, are running sports? They're going beyond, far and wide beyond where they should be focusing their attention, and that you're going to, and they will try, that you're going to tell a you're going to tell a conference what their rules are going to be now. I mean, you're telling the NCAA what theirs. So do they want to run college sports? Because right now they are.
That's a very good question. It's probably more, there's probably more of a legal explanation than a sports explanation here. I did hear someone, and I don't remember who it was, I apologize, I give them credit, that basically said this goes back to COVID, where the NCAA made it plain that we're just handing out free years to people. And so that became the basis for a legal argument from a certain class of attorney that would stand up there and say, You gave this, you just randomly, arbitrarily decided these people get a year and these people don't get a year. Well, you can't do that. The other thing that happened is they got destroyed at the Supreme Court. And I think the fact that they got destroyed at the Supreme Court, and not only that, the Supreme Court, across partisan lines, took issue with the entire business model. It gives every district court and appellate court and state court everywhere, like, the jurisprudence. Now, if you're trying to do a good job at your job, you take that into account. I think that's part of it. We also have the number one blockade to order in college sports, I believe now. I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it because it's still true. We have a group of lawyers that are making money off of, like, the main way they're making money is by challenging the NCAA in individual cases, where individual athletes or a small group of athletes are suing for work protections or equal treatment or whatever works in the particular jurisdiction. But you have a class of lawyers that now has skin in the game, and they have a legitimate interest in keeping things chaotic so that they can win as a source of order.
Sure.
So that is why I think that is now, it's not Congress, it's not these, that's the biggest impediment, is that any athlete that even remotely thinks that they're wronged has a class of attorneys that are lining up to represent them and take those legal fees every single time. And the NCAA's case, if you just keep courts, you're going to find a judge that's going to overturn it. Now, how we got to the point where that's how people decided we're going to do this, I have no idea about that. Why in the world did we just accept the NCAA sets rules and everybody agrees on the rules and we all know the rules and that's fine for 100 years, and now all of a sudden no one accepts anything the NCAA says, and anytime anybody can't do anything, we just find a lawyer, slap a name on a lawsuit, and go to court? I hate that, and I don't know why that became like the culture of the day. Now, with that being said, Mia Moore deserves a fifth year of women's basketball. Darren Heitner is one of those lawyers who's representing Mia Moore, who played 4 minutes as a freshman. Again, we're talking about arbitrary stuff. I think she played 10 minutes. I think it was like 10 minutes total. It was like 0.1% of the minutes in the season. And they are counting that as a year in women's basketball. So she can't get another year. So my thing now is if all these people are getting...
She played 4 years?
She played a junior college year, a Mississippi State year. No, she didn't play junior college. Sorry, that was Taylor Johnson-Matthews. She played a Mississippi State year. She played a UAB year and 2 Clemson years.
Why wouldn't she get the 5th year anyway then?
Because she's class of 22. Because she is in this group of people. They technically are not counting that as a red shirt. They're not letting her count like she had like mental health stuff going on the year that she played like 4 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it was in a game. And so they're not counting it as either a medical or a legitimate redshirt year.
So her argument is the medical aspect of it, that she should get a medical redshirt for that year.
Right. And really, if they weren't planning on playing her, she's basically arguing the coach shouldn't have put her in to begin with. So she's trying to get a hardship waiver. Point is, all of this is very arbitrary. It's very arbitrary. What the SEC has done and what these leagues have done is basically say, we're not doing the NCAA thing. This is why the conferences are more likely to work. They are basically saying, if you are a pro athlete, you have signed a pro contract, you can't come back. So that's not saying if you are in the class of 2022, you can't come back. That's what the NCAA said. That's why the NCAA has been challenged, and that's why the NCAA has lost, because judges are saying that's frivolous. You didn't give enough notice to these athletes, and these players should be allowed to do it. The conferences aren't even addressing that. They're basically acknowledging maybe that that's okay, but what they're saying is, okay, class of 22, you can come back, but not if you signed a pro contract. Not if you've participated in a mini camp. Not if you participated in training camp. And this is what Pat Forty tweeted within the hour. The SEC, if you were in the NFL, NBA, or WNBA, and you play a pro athlete, here are the penalties associated. The head coach is suspended for half your season. A fine commensurate with 50% of your sport budget, which...
Ben, now you have our attention.
I thought they missed the decimal point. 50% of the budget? These budgets are well into 9 figures.
So in other words, we're going to bankrupt you if you do this.
You also don't get to vote on business matters in the SEC. And the commissioner has latitude to do whatever he wants in addition to this. They're basically going to give you the SMU death penalty.
Yes.
I mean, basically.
The conference death penalty.
I mean, so no one's going to end up doing this. Lane Kiffin's not going to be able to do this. Pete Golding's not going to be able to do it. By the way, did you hear Lane Kiffin go, you know, other people in our league are recruiting these guys? And the first thing I thought was like, well, yeah, Golding, obviously.
Yeah.
Who else in the SEC would you nominate before Golding to be alongside Kiffin calling up NFL training camps?
You know, like if Daquan Wright was going back to Ole Miss, it still wouldn't be right, but it's hard for me to understand why, but I could sort of understand that a little more.
It feels less it feels like, well, I'm just going to go back and go to the same class as I would have gone to. Like, you know what I'm saying? It feels more like academically true, and it feels more like a normal procession of things.
I mean, my argument, if I'm him, would be, well, if I would have known they were going to give a 5th year was going to be an option, I would have never gone in the first place. A little bit of the, you know, the argument others are making. But that's not the case. I mean, the fact that we know he was recruited out of the NFL just adds another layer of ickiness to him in particular and these other guys.
Well, and like I say, I think the way that these conferences have done it to put the focus on if you've signed a pro contract, you can't come back. And I feel like that gives them some legal protection, because that's not what the ruling was on the class of 2022. That has nothing to do with that. If you're class of 2022 and didn't sign a pro contract and haven't been in a minicamp, you can come back. That's fine. That's basically what the SEC is saying.
And there's one of the players that LSU, I forget which one, that LSU has signed that never signed with an NFL team. I would be more understanding in that case.
Correct.
When you see a player warming up on the field for a preseason game in the NFL, though, that's you have to draw a line somewhere. And for me, that's certainly across the line.
I did think about this, and we'll go to break, and we'll get to Anthony's phone call. Is Sam Leavitt the best quarterback that Daquan Wright will catch passes from this season? Just asking questions. 654 Roars the number. Hour one of the program continues after this.
The countdown is on. 10 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices.
Love the savings.
At the Sellers wants to throw. Looking. Goes across the middle. Ball batted up in the air. It's picked. Ricardo Jones at the 10. Going to take it into the end zone. Touchdown.
10 days until Clemson Tiger football.
105.5.
97.5. The Roar.
Where every day is game day.
71 home sites, 223 acres, a beautiful property right there in Salem between Lakes Jocassee and Kiwi. We're talking about the new natural oasis for your new home. It's Falls Park at Kiwi. This is a gated community. You've got the privacy. Every lot feels private. It's a wooded area, so you're going to have all of that. But you also have the community gazebo and the community areas that Jim Anthony is known for. You heard about him with Longview, Carolina. You've heard about him with the Cliffs communities and so many other wonderful developments in the upstate and elsewhere. And all of these neighborhoods have the same balance between the privacy, the security that you want, that you need in a home and in a neighborhood, but also in the communal aspect. You've got direct access to Lake Kiwi and concierge access to Jocassee. For more on home sites and how you can be a part of this growing and budding community, go to fallsparkatkiwi.com.
Game to game and conference to conference. We are your home for college football.
He scores!
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Are you raising kids, building a career, and trying to plan your financial future all at the same time? You're not alone. Financial advisor Lindsay May at KOE Financial in Clemson is doing it too. She understands that time is valuable, and that's why she makes planning simple with flexible appointment times, next generation technology, and personal guidance designed to work around your schedule. Whether you're planning for retirement, saving for college, or simply looking for direction, she's there to help. Call 864-654-5000. 5043 or visit KiwiFinancial.com to learn more about how she can help you gain confidence in your financial future without sacrificing time with those who mean the most. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Gradient Securities LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Gradient Securities LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, offers investment advisory services under the DBA of Gradient Wealth Management. Kiwi Financial Group is not affiliated with Gradient Securities LLC.
Don't miss out on the action. Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies to treat orthopedic sports injuries around the world and right here in your community. Learn new skills in a clean, high-tech manufacturing environment with many exciting benefits and campus amenities, including free lunch, free medical care, a new child care center, sports fields and wellness programs, paid parental leave, a transportation stipend, and much more. Check out careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com.
When it's time to paint, the Upstate turns to Spectrum Paint, your source for Benjamin Moore paints. Visit them in Clemson, Greenville, Spartanburg, and Landrum for expert color matching, premium Benjamin Moore paints, and expert service. Whether you're a professional contractor or a do-it-yourselfer refreshing a room, their experts are here to help you get it right the first time. Stop by your nearest...
It's William Quagamus, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us. Texter, I think this is a Florida State fan, says some fan bases, or some schools, he says, would love to suspend their coach for six games, maybe more. Oh, I can't believe Mike Norvell did this with pro players. What will we do? Oh, Odell Haggins, where are you? Let's go to Anthony, who's up with us next. Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line, 654-ROAR, you want to get in. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
Okay, I heard you say at the opening of your show that this was a chance for us to kind of vent our frustrations. Might be the last chance.
Sure.
I've been wanting to call in ever since the end of last season, but I was hesitant to do so. But, you know, because I love the custom program so much, and I didn't want to seem negative like I was piling on. But, you know, I done lost all confidence in Dabo Sweeney and the coaching staff. I love Dabo. Dabo took me on the best college football run I ever been on in my life. But the decisions that he's been making over the last 2 years really came back to kind of bite him in the butt. A lot of decisions he made during the last 2 years just did not work out. I don't like what he did moving players around. I don't like what he doing when he got a struggling offense. And all of a sudden they play good for two quarters. And here he is putting substitutes in when the offense wasn't clicking for three or four games. They do two quarters good, and then he want to put reserves in. That's a bad decision on my part. The biggest thing he did was the not going along with the NIL, being personal. You know, you can't be personal when you have a choice to make your team better. He made the choice not to make his team better. He made the choice to make his personal program what he thought was going to be better. And after what I seen last year, that whole coaching staff got something to prove. I got no confidence in none of the coaching staff after what I seen last year. Other teams coming into Death Valley being better prepared. Better prepared than Clemson with less talent. That really got under my skin. How can Syracuse come in and have a better game plan than Clemson? Georgia Tech, better game plan than Clemson. SMU, better game plan than Clemson. I don't blame the players, period. All of my blame is going on Dabo and his coaching staff. And I want you guys to, you know, tell me why I should have confidence going forward. You know, your eyes don't lie about football. Football is what you see, is what you get. You can do all that other stuff all you want, but you can see a good team from a bad team. And what I seen last year, I can't see how this team gonna do any better than maybe 7-8 wins this year. So I just want you guys to kind of talk me off the ledge and kind of tell me why should I have confidence in this coaching staff. And I just hang up and listen, and thanks for letting me vent. I've been wanting to do that for the last 3-4 months. Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks, Anthony. We're glad we gave you an outlet. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Honestly, Ben, I don't really have an issue with much of what he said. I think a lot of that, as you could imagine, a lot of that was like November, December, January frustration that he did hang on to for a while. The best thing, if you're in Anthony's thought process and you're asking to be talked off the ledge, the best thing that I can tell you is that Dabo Sweeney's decision-making this offseason appears to be moving away from the things people had issue with. Now, I'm going to also say this, because I came in with my own concerns today that have sort of been building. I think some of the looking at LSU's roster this week, and maybe who's not there now, and maybe there in an hour, we don't know, has crystallized for me. Clemson is going on the road in perhaps the toughest environment anybody will face all year, with significant questions at the lines of scrimmage. In ways that LSU, I think they probably have questions, but they have more talent. They have more talent on their defensive line than Clemson has on either line of scrimmage. Stephylan Green would be the star of Clemson's defensive tackle group right now. And he is buried at LSU. LSU was trying to bring in another defensive tackle this week to further bury him. When you think about that, they're young. It's going to be game one for those freshmen. But they clearly have shown more than a guy who would probably be trotting off the bus first for Clemson at defensive tackle. That is a major concern. If the defensive tackle group is not up to par, if the run game is nowhere, if you go through another opener where the offense can't score points, then I think it is reasonable to have big picture concerns, because now you're talking about multiple offensive coordinators. There were things about Garrett Riley, particularly to start games and to start seasons, that you really didn't like. And that's something that Chad Morris has got to fix. If that's not fixed in game one, then you can continue to have those concerns. I have significant concerns in this matchup. I do. And I have considerable angst about how this team will look in light of some of the principled stands that Dabo Swinney has taken in the last 3 years. For Anthony to say he's lost full confidence in the coaching staff, I'm not quite there. But as he's walking it out, I'm not really able to argue with a lot of the points that he made.
A lot of folks, too, have that same frustration. And, you know, vent away. That's fine. Got no problem with that. Anthony said, talk me off the ledge. The one thing I would point to is what you said, that it does feel like there's a slow but steady move to this new world of football by Swinney and the program. But also, I would say, Dabo's, if you feel the way Anthony does, Swinney deserves the opportunity to fix it. The question will become for, and each person will have to answer this themselves, how much time does that take? How much time are you willing to give? You know, I understand the frustration. I do have confidence that Dabo Swinney can turn it around. Does it happen fast enough to appease everyone? I don't know. I don't know. In terms of the LSU game, Quark, if this was 2018 Clemson squad, you would still have concerns going to LSU.
Correct.
I mean, yes. We do need to give them some credit. If they win this game, if you're nervous about this game, I would offer that you would be nervous about this game, or should it be, in any season in Clemson football history. I was thinking when he was talking, what's the last, like, the next most hostile road game that you've played? When was that? 2022 at Notre Dame was a pretty good one, but do you have to go back to the last time you played at Georgia? Am I forgetting one?
Like in a non-conference or overall?
Any game.
I thought 2017 Louisville was tough. Like the Lamar Jackson return game, college game day. It got quiet quickly, but yeah, that was a tough environment.
Louisville environment does not scare anybody.
2018 A&M?
Big building, but very nice people, and A&M expected Clemson to blow their doors off. A&M was not in a good place at that time.
16 Florida State?
Yeah, that would be in the conversation.
I'm trying to think of another one, but you might have to go back to certainly in an opener. You would go back to 14 Georgia.
But 16 Florida State, Jameis, that was the game Jameis was suspended for, right?
That was 14.
14.
16 was Jordan Leggett touchdown. It was like 38-35. 14 was the one that Jameis missed where Mackenzie Alexander fell down and C.J. Davidson fumbled.
Okay.
That was the 14 game. Either one of them. I mean, 14, Florida State was number one in the country. 16, they were top 5, 6, 7. I think it was like a top 7 showdown or something like that in 16.
Yeah, you know, Mitch, a couple of people talking about at Auburn 2016.
That opener.
But you expected to win that game. At least I did.
Clemson was favored. And I do remember that. They were favored.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to one of the most hostile places in America as a double-digit underdog. I assume they're still double-digit underdog. And with a lot of questions about your team. It's tough for me to, I mean, I almost have to go back to the last time at Georgia, really.
The questions that Clemson has, as we're talking about, and people are texting in about some of these, the questions that Clemson has about their personnel and some of the things within the bones of the program truly are the exact wrong questions to have when you're going into this type of environment for your first game. Quarterback, lines of scrimmage, communication. Like, you do not want to have these questions on the road anywhere, much less LSU. We'll talk about this a little more, get to some more college football talk in hour two after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Industrial Motor Service is your one-stop shop for anything related to AC motors, DC motors, servos, gearboxes.